National.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganya in Washington, stepping in for Sunny Young. It is official. Manchester United confirmed that Cristiano Ronaldo will be wearing the team's famous number 7 jersey once again from Juventus to Old Trafford. Ronaldo played for Manchester United in a legendary career that saw him win multiple trophies from 2003 to 2009. Arguably the best player of his generation, Ronaldo used to wear number 7 during his first 6 seasons at the club, following in the footsteps of great United players including Eric Cantona and David Beckham. And in basketball news, it's been a busy week in the iconic Kigali Arena as basketball powerhouses on the continent battled it out in the 30th edition of the AfroBasket tournament. The semifinals are set to start this weekend. Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire were the first teams to advance, followed by Tunisia and Cape Verde. Tunisia will be fighting to defend their 2017 AfroBasket title. Joining me again from Kampala, Uganda, to break down some of the major highlights of the tournament is sports analyst and commentator Jonah Yakutaga. Good evening to you, Jonah. This is the final week of the Afro Basketball Tournament. What are some of the major highlights so far as we enter the final stretch? I think this is the final week, final couple of matches left. Talk to us about some of the highlights.
Good evening, Jackson. Pleasure as always. It's been a very exciting 2 weeks because come Sunday when we get ready for the final, it will be 2 weeks of this tournament. It's coming to an end. We're just down to 3 games. That's the 2 semi-finals that will be played tomorrow. That's Ivory Coast against Senegal, and then the other between Tunisia and Cape Verde, and then of course the final, actually 4 games, because on Sunday we'll have the final and we'll also have the 3rd and 4th place classification game between the 2 sides that will have lost in the semi-finals. So it's been an exciting, 12 days of the tournament. A few things that stood out, for starters, President Paul Kagame, he's been almost ever present all through the tournament. He's made the time to actually be at pretty much every game, at least for all the East African sides that featured. He was in the stands watching. Even after Rwanda got eliminated, he was in the stands yesterday watching Uganda up against Cape Verde. So he's been a good host. He's been amazing for the tournament. And to see a president seated through and enjoying the games, understanding the sport, it's been quite pleasing for those of us who are not in Kigali.
Understanding so the value of sport.
Exactly, understanding and appreciating the value of sports. And of course, the other 2 highlights for me that stood out, somewhat on court now, Kenya fielding the first ever female coach. A female coach coaching a men's basketball team. That's a first in Africa.
Right, that's historic.
That's historic. I was reading a piece that was written about her, and she was interviewed, and she said that her name is Liz Mills, and she said she's shattered a ceiling that she hopes now women can go on to exploit. You should be hired based on your ability and not about gender or anything. So that was a very big plus. And interestingly, she's got a twin sister, an identical twin sister. And all through the tournament, when they were not playing, it was hard to tell who was who when the cameras flashed on them in the stands. Yesterday during the Cape Verde versus Uganda quarterfinal, they were both in the stands watching. And it was hard to tell who was who. So the commentators as well said, if you have not spoken to the two of them, you wouldn't understand who Liz Mills is compared to her
that
sister. So that was
very
exciting.
Confusing for everybody, yes.
Yeah,
Kenya did break a glass ceiling on that one, having, one of the few professional men's teams being coached by a woman. And, you know, kudos to Kenya for breaking that ceiling and setting an example. Let's talk about your home team, the Silverbacks. Given some of the issues they had before the tournament that we covered extensively here on the show, how did they perform?
For starters, I think we had this conversation about 3 weeks ago before the tournament started, and we were previewing the AfroBasket. And I said our first target would be to get out of the group stages. After that, the next target would make the top eight. If we did achieve that, it would be a relatively successful tournament. We've done exactly that. We got out of the group stages only just. We finished third, managed to get out of the group stages, played against the number one ranked team in Africa. That's Nigeria. And everybody who didn't know Ugandan basketball said, nah, they've got absolutely no chance. As much as Nigeria were fielding basically a shadow team from the team that we saw at the Olympics, of course, eight of their NBA players did not come for the AfroBasket because it was a congested calendar for them because they got done with the NBA, went to the Olympics. They now need to take a season's break before the season starts, so they couldn't come down to play the AfroBasket. But nevertheless, we did our job against a still decent Nigerian team. They've got so much quality, so the players they still brought are good enough to challenge. And for a team that's ranked number one, playing against a team that's ranked number 13 in Africa, in Uganda, everybody expected Nigeria. So we got that win and then got to the quarterfinals, where we were up yesterday up against Cape Verde. Now, Cape Verde, everybody when we did the preview, because we've been doing live coverage of these games back home here in Uganda, and everybody that asked me my expectations when we played Cape Verde, I was sure we were getting to the semifinals because we played against Cape Verde in the qualifiers earlier on this year, in February this year. We played against Cape Verde and we beat them. So the expectations was we would get past them and make the semifinals. We should have been in the final four. But maybe we underestimated a fact that just like Uganda, who went out and picked up, naturalized, for example, Ishmael Wainwright of the Toronto Raptors, and picked up a few other Ugandan players who are based abroad in Canada, in the US, in Nigeria, Cape Verde picked up a player called Walter Tavares. He's got a good chance of finishing the tournament as the MVP. He's that good. And he was the difference between Uganda and Cape Verde yesterday. He completely destroyed us. And while we spoke about shattering a glass ceiling by Liz Mills, the Kenyan coach, this Walter Tavares shattered the glass literally shattered the backboard glass of the rims with a crazy dance.
One of the basketball powerhouses on the continent is Angola. It won, 11 championships. You know, some say that their level of play this year has declined. Would you say that this was Angola, the Angola that you expected to see this year? How did they compete against some of these other big teams like Senegal?
Well, I think for starters, coming into the tournament, they were not really considered as a favorite. The sides that were looked at as the teams that would probably light up the tournament were obviously Tunisia and Senegal. Basketball has got what you call power rankings, where they rank teams according to the form that they have coming into the tournament. They look at form, they look at preparation to the tournament, they look at the players that have been summoned, and then they rank teams based on that. So Senegal and Tunisia were ranked in the top two, or the top two sides according to the power ranking. So that is what in football you'd call that the odds, or in other sports you'd call that betting odds, more or less. So how the betting odds are stacked up, and you have the odds saying maybe Brazil will win the Football World Cup, something like that. So the power rankings are more or less betting odds, and they showed Senegal and Tunisia were the top two sides. They dropped Nigeria, who are the number one ranked team in Africa. The power rankings dropped them to seventh seed for the tournament. So that's an indication already. The power rankings are almost seedings for a tournament. They do not really take into consideration where you're ranked. They look at all these other attributes coming into the tournament. So Nigeria, ranked number one, was seeded seventh. Uganda, ranked number 13 in Africa, was seeded ninth coming into the tournament. So they differ. So Angola was seeded, I probably can't remember that right, but I think they were seeded fifth coming into the tournament. So as much as they are 11-time champion, they were not considered one of the favorites for the tournament. So that in itself was a clear indication of where they would finish. But when you look at their results in the group stages, they lost to the hosts, Rwanda. That didn't surprise me because of Rwanda were playing home. They had the home wave carrying them. They had their president in the stands. I wasn't surprised by that. I kind of expected there would be a huge upset in that group. As much as we all thought, listen, Angola is still 11-time champions. They should be good enough to qualify out of this group. But Rwanda beat them. Cape Verde were in this group as well. Cape Verde also beat Angola. So Angola won only one game against the Democratic Republic of Congo in this group, and they were lucky to finish third, which gave them a chance to get into the classification games, or what you call the qualification games, for the quarterfinals. Luckily for them, they went through that. They won that game, and then they got into the quarterfinals, where they were up against the favorites, or the second favorites, if you like, Senegal. Now, for me, that's been the game of the tournament. I mean, we saw basketball that it may not have been the highest scoring game, because it ended 79-74. There's just a five-point difference.
But I watched that. And the other 5 points, I think, were made up in almost the last few seconds.
Absolutely right. The thing is, into the last 24 seconds, and you know the shot clock is 24 seconds. Into the final 24 seconds, Angola were in possession of the ball and they trailed by only 2 points. At that point, it was 74-76. So Angola had several options on their plate to actually knock out Senegal.
As we close off, who do you expect to win this tournament as we come to the end of it?
Senegal have a balanced team. I think Senegal and Tunisia will make the final. As much as I've spoken all this about Cape Verde, I think also Tunisia is a little bit more balanced than Cape Verde. Because Uganda showed yesterday that if you throw bodies at Tavares, you can slow him down. You may not stop him, but you can slow him down. Now, Tunisia have got more size than Uganda does, so they'll keep throwing bodies and tiring him out. At the end of the game, he looked exhausted. As much as he scored the most points, he had 23 points and 15 rebounds, but he was burnt out. So if Tunisia have the size and they keep throwing bodies at him, they'll wear him out, and then they've got more weapons. So based on that, I think Cape Verde's journey ends tomorrow in the semifinals. We'll have Senegal-Tunisia squaring off in the final. My money is on Senegal winning it. It will be their first title since 1997 when they hosted it in Dakar.
That was sports analyst and commentator Jonah Yakutaga. I reached him in Kampala, Uganda. Voice of America! In 2015, Nigeria lifted their first ever AfroBasket title in Reds, Tunisia. In that same tournament, the Tigers, as they're known, had beaten then-deputant Uganda 98-59. But it was a completely different ballgame this time in Kigali, as the Ugandan team dominated the former African champions from start to finish. So, what went wrong for Nigeria? From Lagos, Nigeria, Samuel Okocha reports on concerns raised over the team's preparation, especially concerns that local players were reportedly sidelined in the selection process, plus the situation with the game back home.
Nigeria's national basketball team, the Tigers, started their 2021 AfroBasket Championship on a winning note with an 81-73 points win against the team from Mali. But an ex-Nigerian international raised concerns over the team's preparation and selection process.
When I played AfroBasket for Nigeria, when I went for our Nations Cup, there were a couple of people that were invited from the US to come and join the team. They gave us chance to compete with those people, and we were able to prove ourselves. Raw guys from this basketball league were taken to go and compete. Until everybody is given a chance, right chance, correct chance, and then that is the only time we can bring back our confidence.
Scambo Morrison is the founder of a basketball academy and head of Kaduna State Basketball Association in Northwest Nigeria. He said creating a fair chance for players from the local scene and abroad would have created a more formidable team to represent Nigeria at the AfroBasket tournament in Rwanda.
We are not saying that we must all be picked. They can bring anybody from anywhere in the world to come and play, but give us a chance also to participate. Look at the story we're hearing today. The only people that went for AfroBasket, we only have four from Nigeria, and they were just handpicked because the noise is becoming too much. And the coach opened his mouth and said, we are going to have a display of individual talent. That means we didn't go with a team. We only went with people picked from one place to the other to see if they could at least do well in AfroBasketball. You know, but that is not how it is. There's no synergy. So we're not too happy.
Back home in Nigeria, the country's basketball Premier League has been on hold due to court cases and Watts Campbell blamed on a leadership failure and internal crisis in the administration of the game in Nigeria. But president of Nigeria Basketball Federation, Musa Kida, says the crisis preventing the Basketball Premier League from running has since been resolved and the league is now billed to kick off in September.
We have a new reawakening of that league in a very, very interesting way from the 7th of September this year. That is the context of Nigeria, which is, if I compare it to some African countries, Tunisia, Senegal and all that, who have had their domestic leagues very robust, they have maintained the presence. That's what we would suffer from, the fact that we did not properly host a Premier League within the country. But all well and good. I think the products we're getting from the lower leagues have shown fruit, and getting ready to go into the Premier League next month is actually very exciting for us.
Samuel Okocha for VOA News, Lagos, Nigeria.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. Uganda and neighbors Kenya played to a goalless draw in their first game of the FIFA 2022 qualifying game. But both coaches said after the game that 1 point earned will power them to do better in their upcoming games. Reporter Mugume Davis Rwakarenji has more from Kampala, Uganda.
Kenya's Harambee Stars and Uganda Cranes played a goalless draw at Nyayo Stadium in Nairobi, Kenya in Group E FIFA 22 World Cup qualifiers yesterday, Thursday. Uganda Cranes coach Milutin Mitchell Srodovic said in a post-match press conference that his team is in transition, with some senior players, including former captain and African Player of the Year, Dennis Onyango, resigned.
You know, we are the team in transition in any way. You know, you will see yourself Barcelona after Messi and Uganda after Onyango and several players that have retired. So when you have that in mind, we are a team in transition that need to find a formula how to operate. Many quality players have retired, and we have found replacement. As a nation, football-wise, we are finding replacement. We want to borrow the leaf from the generation of under 20. And for me, Uganda has not today just got point, but also Bobosi Biruhanga, one of the players from under 20 that played final, played a full match and played very well.
Mitchell said his team will aim at maximum points when the two teams meet again in Kampala.
Boys have given everything, a match of two teams, where one team is coming from the full competitive season of Kenyan League, while we have been in off-season and in recess in lockdown. So it was very hard to prepare the players physically for the match like this one, match that demands so much. We have limited opponent only on accidental aspect of sending the long balls towards Olunga, and we have succeeded to keep the clean sheet. On the other side, as a coach, I'm not satisfied the way we are entering in attack, the way we are holding the ball, and the way we are with numbers facing the ball. This is something that is in process and that, as a coach, I need to work on.
Kenya Harambee Stars coach Jacob Gostimule also said his team is growing.
Not the best game today, but at least there are positives that have been picked from the game. And we plan again now for Rwanda because it's coming in 2-3 days. It's tight for us, but we try to see if we can upset the form book in Kigali.
Sports analyst Darren Chayune says he wasn't surprised the two teams drew. He says the draw favors the Uganda Cranes.
I think the draw favors Uganda in a way because they picked a point away from home. And this is actually the fifth match in a row under Mitchell Sredojevic that they are picking a clean sheet in a World Cup qualifier. That's picking from the 2018 campaign. I think the Cranes picked a point and it's a good stepping stone before they host Mali on Monday. While for Kenya, you'd expect that they get under some bit of pressure, especially with the fact that the Cranes sat back for long spells.
On Monday, Kenya will play Rwanda, who earlier lost to Mali, while Uganda entertains group leaders Mali in Kampala. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarenji in Kampala, Uganda.
Now, this week we reported about the Gambian national team known as the Scorpions. We talked about how they were cancelling a training camp that was supposed to have taken place in the Comoros. The government of Gambia says that it had no funds to facilitate the trip. Reporter Pan Derimba spoke to the team's officials and players and brings us our next story.
Sporting greetings to you, Jackson. Usman Drame is the team manager of Gambia's national team. He isn't happy with the recent cancellation of the Scorpions training match that was scheduled to take place in Comoros.
Extremely disappointed, knowing that we came this far, you know, from qualifiers, you know, that the national team that qualified the country to its maiden AFCON. We thought there is no going back anymore, but we can only make things better. But sadly, last week, we had a sudden communication from the Ministry of Youth and Sports to the National Sports Council to say that they will not be able to finance this particular camp, which is, in my own opinion, would have, you know, ramifications and it could impede our progress in terms of preparations to get ourselves into AFCON.
This is the first time that the Gambia has qualified to take part in the African Cup of Nations finals. The games have been scheduled to take place in Cameroon in 2022. According to Silla, the Gambian government hasn't prioritized sports development, a claim that the government has always denied. He says the usual summer league, known as Nowetan, might not take place this year in the Gambia.
We don't have one good football field, we don't have it. Even this year, there's going to be no Nowetan because there's no field. That's wrong. Where is the money? Every year by this time, Gambia, we are playing Nowetan. But this year, even yesterday, myself, I called Parfait. Parfait, I think, is the technical director of Real de Banjul. I call him to ask him whether Bakau, they're going to have Nowetan because I want to give them something to support them. But Parfait told me, no, there's going to be no Nowetan. So that's, for me, that's not good for Gambian football because I know FIFA, they give them money. But where is the money? Where is the money?
The General Secretary of the Gambia Football Federation, Lamin Jase, was contacted for comment, but he said he was busy taking part in a Zoom meeting. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
And let's go to West Africa in Sierra Leone, where the country's football association has selected 6 projects to benefit from the country's $3.4 million balance in the FIFA's forward fund. Ofaniel Gooding has more.
Sierra Leone Football Association has chosen 6 projects that will benefit from the country's $3.4 million balance in FIFA's forward fund. FIFA's West Africa Regional Development Manager, Elhaj Wack Diop, who is in Sierra Leone to assess the project facilities, says,
"The Football Association has responsibility to build a strategy and identify project because they better know their needs than us. We are here to support. We are here to fund, but it's the responsibility of the Football Association to identify the needs and prioritize them. We know that in Africa, the main challenge that we have is infrastructure, because if you want to develop football, you need infrastructure, you need capacity building, and you need competition as well. So infrastructure costs a lot of money. We all know that it's the responsibility, first of all, of the government to build football or sports infrastructure. But we have a reality in our region, in our countries. Football infrastructure is not always a priority. So government does what they can do, and the Football Association also plays a role. They have identified some sites, different sites, where they want to build artificial pitch and a mini stadium with seaters and floodlight. We also discuss acquisition of bus for the national team and vehicles for the youth selection and women's selection as well. We also discuss another project that is related to TV station and radio station as well, to broadcast the match of the Premier League and Division 1, Division 2, to give more visibility to local football, which is very, very important because everything is not about elite football. We have also to pay attention and support the local football. So more or less, these are the projects that we have discussed. But I'm going to be here for another 2 days, so we still have time to talk about projects that can help to develop football in Sierra Leone and discuss on the priority.
According to Chris Kamara, the general secretary of the Sierra Leone Football Association,
because we are having infighting, other member associations we are developing. So as a result, we've been having funds accumulating in FIFA that we've not utilized. So before the previous president, Madam Aisha Johansson, who is now a FIFA council member, left, she had already pronounced some projects that she thought our leadership would use to develop football in Sierra Leone. Infrastructure. You could recall that Sierra Leone Congolese been suffering hugely from infrastructure. What we have, it's nothing good to write home about. It's nothing good to be proud of. So we want a state-of-the-art facility. We saw the artificial turf that she did in Kenema. We want it replicated across the nation. So for us, I think this is a very laudable thing. It's a good thing for Sierra Leone. It's good for football. It's good for national development. It's good for sports.
Voice of America.
That was Ofaniel Gooding reporting from Freetown, Sierra Leone. And as we close the show, the qualifying competition for the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 is underway across the world this week. In Africa, this means that the start of the second round of the preliminaries, which promises to be intense, some 40 teams will be battling it out in 10 groups, with only the section winners advancing in the third and final round, which will decide which 5 teams to go on to the world finals. Let's join Samson O'Malley for the latest news from these qualifiers, as well as other sports action making the headlines on the continent. Sporty Friday greetings to you, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Jackson. We begin the wrap of Africa Sports this weekend with the latest fixtures and results from Africa's 2022 World Cup qualifying. Match day one of the group stage of the qualifying tournament will wrap up with 7 matches across the continent on Friday. Some of the matches are already underway, featuring Zimbabwe hosting neighbors South Africa. Bafana Bafana coach Hugo Broos believes they can at least salvage a point from the fixture against their neighbours.
As you know, it's a tough opponent, it's our neighbours, so it's a little bit special. But on the other side, I'm confident and I know that we can do that. We can have a good result in Zimbabwe. But again, it needs especially a good mentality, because it will be a tough game. So if there is 1 point, I will be happy. If there is 3 points, I will be very happy. But if we lose, I will be disappointed.
In other games, Ivory Coast will host visiting Mozambique. Ghana will be at home to Ethiopia. And Dede Ayew, Black Stars captain, says the present squad has a lot of talent that can produce the needed results.
Everything is okay. You can see there's a lot of quality. There's a lot of talent. So I'm convinced and assure that, you know, the players that are going to represent the nation, we are all ready to make the nation proud.
In Lagos, Nigeria's Super Eagles are taking on Liberia. Super Eagles coach Gernot Rohr says they will not underrate any team ahead of today's game.
We need to be 4 more, because, like you know, for the second game, our UK players cannot come to Cap Verde. And for the moment, good preparation is important now for the game on Friday against Liberia. This is a good team. We never underrate anybody. We don't forget that a few months ago in Benin City, we had some problems with such a team. So it's a good lesson for everybody. We will be ready. We will be concentrated. And I hope that what I saw today in the training session, I can see it also in the match.
Algeria, the reigning African Cup of Nations champion, got their road to Qatar 2022 off to a flying start as they crushed 10-man Djibouti 8-0 in their Group A opener in Blida. The night game saw Islam Slimani rack up 4 goals, while Baghdad Bounidjah, Rami Bensimbani, Riyad Mahrez and Ramiz Zarouki were also on the score sheet as the Fennec Foxes ran riot after the dismissal of Djibouti's Batio Yusuf midway through the first half. Another night game saw Algeria's fellow North African heavyweight Morocco move to the top of Group I with a 2-0 triumph over Sudan in Rabat, thanks to an early strike from Naif Agred and an own goal from Abouagala Abdallah. The Atlas Lion made their statement win without star man Hakim Ziyech, who was dropped from the squad by coach Vahid Halidzozic for unacceptable behavior. The afternoon matches saw East African derby rivals Kenya and Uganda drawing 0-0 in Nairobi to leave Group E topped by favorites Mali after their win on Wednesday, while DR Congo and Tanzania drew 1-1 in Lubumbashi in a Group J opener with goals from Dumerci Mbukani and Simon Nsuva. The other Group J game took place in the early evening slot, with Benin claiming an early lead on 3 points after they defeated host Madagascar 1-0 in Antananarivo, thanks to Steve Moyne's goal midway through the first half. Elsewhere, Namibia playing at their neutral venue, the Orlando Stadium in Soweto, were held 1-1 by Group H rivals Congo as Charles Hambira's opener was cancelled out in the second half by Guy Mbenza, while Burkina Faso got their Group A campaign off to a flyer with a 2-0 away win over Niger at another neutral venue, Marrakesh, with strikes from Lassina Traore and Mohamed Konate. And on to basketball news. Two former African champions, Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire, defending champions Tunisia and high-flying Cape Verde, will meet each other as they get set for the FIBA AfroBasket 2021 semifinals battle on Saturday at the Kigali Arena. After 31 games into the AfroBasket 2021, the 16-nation lineup has been trimmed down to just four national teams, raising the inevitable question, which of the four teams will advance to the championship game? It's back to you, Jackson.
And that's it for this Friday, September the 3rd edition of Sunnyside of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, wishing you a very good weekend ahead, Africa.